I'm Jamie West, and happy almost Friday, Mike Broomhead.
Friday Eve. Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. A lot going on the show this morning. We're going to talk economy in just a moment, but coming up about 20 minutes from right now, we are going to speak with Jonathan Lines. Mr. Lines is a supervisor in Yuma County. There was a big meeting with Mayorkas from Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, and we are going to talk with him about that meeting that happened yesterday, if he had any direct contact with him or what happened, because it was very contentious. You're going to hear some of that a little bit later on in the show. But Jonathan Lines from Yuma County going to give us an update on what happened yesterday at the border and the governor's comments and what he had to say about Mr. Mayorkas being fired. So that's coming up at 8:35. I want to start off with the good news. And this has been for me the compare and contrast of what's gone on what works and what doesn't. I get caught up like everyone else does in the politics of things with my political leanings, my political beliefs. But in the end, we all want success. And it seems it's different. If you at least it was for me when I had kids, when I have grandkids now, when I think about things now, success matters more than being right to me. Because I want what's best for me, of course, and what I think is best, and I want to win the argument, and I want to win everything. But in the end, I look at legacy now. I'm, you know, a little older, and I think, well, what am I doing? How am I setting my kids up for success in their careers now and the potential for my grandkids and the careers and the lives they'll have? So success matters more to me than being right. And most people that have ever had an argument with me would deny that I would ever say those words. But that's absolutely the truth. Metro Phoenix set a record with workforce, 2.3 million at the end of 2021. Now, Travis Laird is with Robert Half, and that's a talent agency or a talent, you know, they're like a staffing firm, talent and staffing firm, and was talking about Arizona. This is what he had to say.
There's optimism in the market right now. There continues to be, but there's also a candidate shortage. So this is a prime time, an ideal situation for a candidate to explore opportunities and have a lot of confidence that they can meet needs when it comes to compensation, you know, work-life balance, career growth, all those factors that we look for as good candidates in the market.
So Arizona is in a good spot. And there's a lot of this is even for people that are not experienced in a specific job. I was a beneficiary of that in the 80s, in the 1980s, 1985, to be specific. When I went into the electrical trade, there was a housing explosion in Southwest Florida. And it still is. As a matter of fact, Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the town I grew up in, Fort Myers, they're kind of brother towns separated by the Caloosahatchee River. And Cape Coral was exploding in home building. And that's what I did. That's where I cut my teeth in the trades. I had absolutely no experience whatsoever. But my boss was hiring. They needed bodies on the job site. And as long as I was willing to learn, they were willing to teach me. So for young people exploring career options, for people that are starting a family or just kind of starting out saying, I'd like to do something different, wherever you are, the opportunities right now here are in a very good place. And I've never believed that this is by accident. Now, I want to give you the other side of this conversation. Americans are worried more about inflation than any other issue. But there doesn't seem to be any solutions coming out of our federal government. And again, trying to be as fair as I can be, it's not about blaming an administration for everything. That's not a fair thing to do. There are supply chain issues because of COVID and shutdowns of ports and things of that nature that happened that caused some of these things that are outside of this administration's control. My complaint has been, how have they responded? And my answer is they have not. They haven't responded. If you remember the supply chain issue before Christmas, where there were hundreds of ships on both coasts, off the coast, waiting to get into a port to get unloaded, and we had huge supply chain issues. The President of the United States gave one speech and said, we are going to run the Port of L.A. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it really hasn't helped. We're still having huge backups. There hasn't been maybe there is behind the scenes, but there hasn't been any successful efforts to try to slow or stop that from happening. The other side of this, though, if you look at the private sector, and the reason why I'm critical, UPS, FedEx, probably DHL, all of these massive shipping companies, started going to air freight, trying to figure out how they're going to fly their goods if the ships weren't working, and trying to find other avenues to reduce the supply chain issue in their business model. And that's what the private sector does. It sees a problem before most people do, and they try to come up with a solution in a worst-case scenario. Talk about it with sports. I talk about it with everything else. A great coach will be able to take something that is, to a normal team, would be a devastating outcome. You lose your running back, you lose your quarterback, star players, whatever, people are down, and they figure out a way to minimize the damage. There's no doubt that it does damage to your chances to win. There's no doubt that it hinders your ability to be successful, but what you do is mitigate that damage. And we're not seeing that. We are not seeing that right now. So those two things, as I look at everything, I think this, our economy growing and us getting all of our jobs back, the COVID numbers, as bad as they are across the country, it's not just Arizona. Florida is bad. Texas is bad. Arizona is bad. Their policies are very similar. California is bad. New York is bad. Michigan is bad. Their policies, all very similar. And so we are learning to live with COVID-19, and the Arizona economy has been going in the right direction, and we've recovered all of these jobs. So what works? What has been working? And instead of looking at it from one partisan point of view or another all the time, why are we not defending things by saying this has been working? The Fed is signaling interest rate hikes probably in March, which means it's going to be more expensive to borrow money, but it's going to help drive down inflation. And we'll see. We will see how it works. Here's another anecdotal piece of evidence for my argument. According to the app OpenTable, restaurant reservations in cities with vaccine mandates tanked compared to cities without. You know, I wasn't happy about it. Many of us were not happy about going to takeout only and the other things that restaurants had to do. And good companies adapted. And I don't know, you know, like, and I'll give you an example. The company that owns Chelsea's Kitchen, if you're familiar with restaurants here in town, they have Chelsea's Kitchen, they have LGO, they have Buck and Ryder. These are all three of their four or five restaurants they have in town. They were amazing. They kept staff working. What they did was they ran everything out of one kitchen at Buck and Ryder, which is at 44th Street and Camelback Road. And if you ordered something off a menu at any one of their restaurants, you went to Buck and Ryder and you got your meal. So they kept people working. They minimized your wait time. They had a system where you were, drove through where the valet is. Then they had wireless readers for your credit card, and it was just a way that they were able to keep things going. It was what business people do. They take a tough situation and they do the best they can to mitigate the damage so that they can persevere, and that's what they've done. When we open things back up here, when we went back to 50% capacity or whatever it was in a room, that kills restaurants because now you're still in a survival mode. Anybody that's ever worked in the service industry, in the restaurant or bar industry, knows turning tables is the key to success. It's not rushing people out the door, but you want to get those tables filled 2, 3, 4 times a night. When you're full, that's the way you make money. The rest of the time, you're just kind of maintaining. So when you take a restaurant and you say you are not allowed to be filled to capacity, but you still have to staff the kitchen, you still have to have wait staff, you have to have bar staff, it's tough. When you separate people at the bar and you can't have people sitting really close to each other at the bar, your bar business in a restaurant is a huge part of the money that you take in. And that's, again, I'm not no genius. I'm just telling you that's how it works. And for a long time, because of COVID, the restaurant industry had one arm tied behind its back. But we were actually, I believe, we were running ads in California when we opened things back up, saying to people, come eat in our restaurants, come to Arizona. So there were people being proactive on how they could recover. So this anecdotal evidence, it adds up to, and I hope that there's going to be at some level a debrief at the end of all of this. When we finally are feeling that we're coming out of the woods permanently with this, what worked and what didn't? You know, this fighting about mask mandates because we said so. And, you know, you guys look at all the deaths and look how terrible we are and look how bad this is. And then you point at someone else and say they're as strict as they can be in California, in New York. And you look at the devastation from COVID there, and their economies are devastated as well. So there is a conversation to be had about what works and what doesn't. Arizona's economic future right now is looking really, really good, with the exception of inflation and especially home prices, which may not cool off until sometime next year. We are going to see people that are trying to live a part of the American dream that are feeling like they're playing catch up because inflation is outpacing wage increase. So if we can get that under control, and I don't know how much control our government and the state can control it, but the more that we can do those things, especially with housing, the better off we're going to be, at least the faster we are. In a moment, we're going to talk with Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lines about the meeting with Mayorkas yesterday about the border. He stopped at the border again, and we'll let you hear a little bit of what border agents had to say, and was not very pleasant. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. Yesterday at the border, Secretary Mayorkas was down there and was greeted by some very angry Border Patrol agents. And there was a very contentious exchange that happened there. The governor came out and spoke out very harshly about the job that's being done by Secretary Mayorkas. But one of the people that actually met with him yesterday is Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lines. He joins us now. Jonathan, let's talk about what the meeting was like. Was it a contentious meeting, and who was in the meeting that you were in?
So the only elected people, and good morning, Mike, the only elected people that were in the meeting with Mayorkas and myself was the mayor, and then there were representatives from a few of our federal contingency.
How was the meeting? Was it cordial? Was it productive? Was it contentious?
So he had a lot of meetings yesterday, first met with the Border Patrol officers and didn't necessarily go as is being reported. There were a few people that, you know, were angry, of course, and expressed their concerns. But talking to some of the agents who were actually there, it wasn't as reported. The quotes are accurate. Then he met with some of the healthcare people and the NGOs that are providing services here along the border. Especially doing the COVID testing. And then the mayor and I had the opportunity to sit down with him, and he turned the meeting over to us and listened to our concerns and complaints and wanted to understand our challenges and made commitments to us.
Did he commit to doing more for the Yuma sector?
Yes. First and foremost, our capital request was to complete the wall and to energize all of the resources, meaning specifically the lighting and plugging the holes in this area. He had his chief counsel there with him and the chief of the National Border Patrol, Mr. Ortiz, and the Yuma sector chief, Chris Clem, and they talked about the different funding mechanisms already in place. And, you know, he was able to see the assets, meaning the rusting sections of wall that have been sitting there since the inauguration. And committed to getting those taken care of in a really short period of time.
So they made a commitment that they're going to help finish, plug the holes in the wall, finish sections of the wall, get the lighting up and running so the federal agents have a better chance of doing their jobs. He made that commitment.
He made that commitment to us, and he said that he would follow up with us in a Zoom meeting within the next few weeks so that he could report on his progress. It wasn't a meeting just to check the boxes. You know, we have got valid concerns, and we brought them all to the table from every segment of not just our community, but Arizona, you know, talking about the opiates coming across the border. You know, 5 Arizonans die per day because of opioid. You know, a lot of those things are coming across the border illegally. And when the agents are so focused on taking care of people and quote-unquote babysitting, their resources are stretched thin, Mike, and, you know, we have more drugs coming through the border. However, I will point out that the seizures are up at 300 to 400% in different segments of the hard narcotics, and that's due primarily to Governor Ducey's action, taking the border strike force with our National Guard and employing them as assets to Border Patrol. And so they have been able to take more drugs off the street and out of the hands of the cartels than ever before.
That's good news. Jonathan Lines joins us. He is a supervisor with Yuma County and had a meeting yesterday with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Did they give you a timeline on when this work will begin and when it might end on those things he promised?
He told us that he would be back in D.C. after stopping in Texas last night and today, and that he was going to try to get everything up and going within the next few weeks. That was what he directed his people there in the office to do. In addition to completing the wall, which was, you know, the capital request, additional permanent agents, not just people detailed to Yuma. So right now in the Border Patrol Academy, there's 100 agents that they would be committed to Yuma, and that we would have additional processors so that Border Patrol wasn't taking their time processing people, but that they could be better utilized out on the ground or in the air, stopping the bad actors from coming into the United States and able to do their job.
Now, from my perspective, that seems like a policy shift from the administration that they're cooperating and want to get some of these other things done, where they were, you know, President Biden ran on kind of being anti-wall. Do you see this as a policy shift? Did this seem like a shift in attitude from that, from Secretary Mayorkas?
It absolutely seems like a shift in his policy. I hope that he's here to fulfill his commitments that he made to us in the Yuma community. Mike, let me tell you a couple other things that we spoke to him about. For example, Yuma County Sheriff's Office, they've incurred about $300,000 worth of debt or costs in taking care of illegals coming across who've been arrested on different crimes. So part of this meeting was to request that the U.S. attorney is able to prosecute these people and that it's not left up to local prosecution. And then we talked about our ag community and keeping it safe. And those were the primary issues that we brought to the table, as well as how it has exhausted some of our resources here in the community with people, migrants, immigrants, illegals showing up directly to, for example, the Crossroads Mission and to other NGOs, you know, needing and requiring assistance. And then, you know, what a strain it's put on our hospital, especially during this time when beds are scarce because of COVID and flu, and what that's done to our healthcare system, especially our 911, where, you know, people show up to the border, dial 911 simply because Border Patrol is overwhelmed and they're not being picked up.
Well, I appreciate the time today and the information, because I wanted to speak with you because you were in that meeting. And I'm glad to hear that it seemed productive to you, and I hope you'll come back one way or the other and tell us how the progress is going and what's happening next.
Mike, I'll keep you posted as soon as we have the other Zoom set up.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jonathan Lines. He is a supervisor in Yuma County. A different perspective on his meeting with Secretary Mayorkas, saying that he believes there's an attitude shift and a policy shift, at least from Secretary Mayorkas, and made some promises on things that people have been asking for on the border. And we will see. And hopefully he's going to keep his word. That would be great news for the people of Yuma County, the state of Arizona, and all the states where this has been a very tough road. Coming up in a moment, Gatos is going to join me. We got the Big Q poll question of the day right around the corner.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Good morning. What's happening?
You know, just doing a show, trying to earn a living.
Hey, did you talk to Jonathan Lines?
Yes, I did, just a few minutes ago.
All right, I didn't hear the interview, but I'm reading a little bit about it. So is there a little bit of a shift at the border now? Are we – Mayorkas was in town.
Yeah. He said that he believes that there has been a policy shift from Mayorkas, that Mayorkas made commitments to finish the border wall down there, to plug the holes in the wall, to commit to more Border Patrol agents, to get the lighting up on the wall, and to get it done right away. He promised a meeting within the next couple of weeks via Zoom to let them know about the progress. And I asked him point blank, do you believe this is a policy shift? And he said yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll work on the mayor of Yuma. We'll probably see if we could put him on today, because I think he was at the meeting yesterday.
Yeah, he was too.
It's really interesting. I don't know what these people have been waiting for. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know what they've been waiting for. Now you're gonna have a shift in policy. I don't know why you would wait this long to do that.
And see, I don't know either. And so that's where I'm a little bit torn as well, is on one hand, I want to say, thank God they're listening finally.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I'm like you. I think, what's taking so long? So,
yeah.
You know, right now I'm happy that they've made the shift. I'm happy. You know, I know Jonathan pretty well, a very nice man. And the people of Yuma County have been overrun with you know, money expenses because of their services in town, 911, jails, hospitals, food banks. And I just hope they get some relief.
Yeah. You know, I get the politics of it. Mayorkas comes in, doesn't want to call Ducey. I think that's garbage. I think you call the governor and say, we're going to have a meeting about the border. I think that's horse crap. But, you know, here's my cue. It's about the border. 2 million people crossed our southern border in 2021. You know, you and I have talked about it. I've been here 25 years. I haven't seen the border this bad.
Right.
So I ask, who do you blame most for this disaster? Who do you blame most? A, Biden. B, Ducey. C, Biden and Harris. D, Biden. I mean, the only thing Ducey, I think, can do better, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of power in this, is maybe pull a page out of Jan Brewer. Jan Brewer, I think, was pretty good at trying to get the administration to listen to her. I think that she did a really good job doing that. That's the only thing I would say about Ducey, because it's Biden's fault.
Maybe Ducey will wag his finger in Biden's face.
I mean, sometimes I think maybe you have to do that.
It worked for Brewer.
It sure did.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Gatos. That's Gatos. And the Big Q poll question of the day is brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Very timely one today about the border. You can go and vote at KTAR.com and see how others voted as well. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, we continue to talk with candidates for statewide office. We are going to have one of the candidates for school board superintendent. Her name is Shiri Sapir. She joins us to talk about schools and school choice. So stick around for that.